Maybe he's trying to keep his dick away from you because it's, you know, it's got something
nasty.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or, yeah. Maybe it was one indiscretion. Yeah,
there's,
and now he's
there's
like,
spores on it.
Dirty
he's like,
dick.
He's got to put two condoms on and go in the next room. Yeah. To have safe sex with you. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So we're thrilled to have Marcy back in the house.
That's right. So Marcy is our resident
tarot reader, intuitive life coach, all-around helper of human beings.
Yep. And she will pull a card on you so fast.
Pulling cards.
You won't know what happened.
That's right.
So she's back in the studio with us today, and we're gonna talk about what are you doing?
What am I doing?
Last time you were here, we talked about some programs that you were doing with your clients that were more than just like one-off visits
right.
for tarot card reading.
So I've been moving into doing a lot more packages, and it's so much better. Doing a single reading can be great. It can be hugely inspirational for people. It can be interesting. Mm-hmm. But then what I was realizing was there's this pattern of like, usually people call and get a reading when they're in crisis. So it'd be like, crisis.
Too late.
And then I'd be like, okay, let's fix this. And that's kind of fun. And it, you know, I was an alcoholic's daughter. So like the part of me that thrives on things like that really, you know, is into it. Like, I can help you.
Right. So you're so well practiced at
so
like,
good.
Studying
yeah.
in and saving
so,
the day.
Yes, yeah, yeah. exactly.
At the last minute.
I'm totally really good at that. And I mean, I am legitimately good at that. And it is, I think in many cases, it's a great skill. And a lot of times it is helpful and necessary. How many times have you been like, if someone could just help me sort this out right now?
Yeah.
But then what happens is we get to the bottom of it, we sort it out, everything feels better, the person feels relieved and they feel happy and they go, oh my God, thank you so much. This is, I feel clear and great and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But then none of the behavior changes or
right.
It does, or it changes briefly, but then, and then I don't hear from them. Things are going well, and then kind of rocky, and then I don't hear from them, and then I hear from them again when they're in crisis. And then we do it all over again, which can, again, it keeps me in business. It's great. But
yeah.
it is, it's taxing. And then I start to feel kind of like a jerk because I'm like, oh, yeah, I told you this last time. Remember?
Right.
It's kind of like what we talked about, like massage and acupuncture. These things are maintenance.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't just wait till the last minute to get it.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice. Like now I'll have times where I'll talk to someone. And the other thing is, you know, a tarot reading is it's like a fixed point in someone's memory. So I'll talk to someone if I only talk to them in crisis, that's what the tarot reading becomes associated with. And then when they're kind of looking back over what's happened in the last year or whatever, every time they had a tarot reading, there was a crisis going on, and those are the things that they remember.
Mm-hmm.
So now as I'm talking to people, you know, either every other week or, you know, a few times in a row, we look back and I'll talk to them during a, like, maintaining the status quo point. And,
mm-hmm.
and we can kind of talk about, like, well, what are you doing so that things are staying so level?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, let's celebrate the fact that, like, shit hasn't hit the fan in quite a while.
Right,
And I really like it. It gives me a chance to see people's patterns in action. So when I meet someone once, I can see their patterns, and I can talk to them, but it's not the same as being, like, you're in the pattern and I'm talking to you about it then. So, like, I had someone recently who, every time we talked, she would say, well, how does this guy, her ex-boyfriend, how does he feel about me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you do a one-off reading, it makes sense to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had talked a few times, and every time we talked, that would come up. And I finally got to say, you know, I'll answer this question, but it's going to be one of the last times we do this because I need to point something out to you.
And, tough tarot.
So it was like, you know, what I realize is that a lot of questions, it's sort of like I have a good remedy for a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have like the remedy. No, I don't.
Oh.
But, but imagine that I did.
I know.
And every time you had a hangover, you give me a call. And I go, oh, do this, this, this. You take it, you do it, and you feel better.
Mm-hmm. But
and
I'm still getting
the
crazy.
Same, you get done with that, and then you drink still.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's fine for a little while. But if our contract is for me to help you, like truly be helpful,
mm-hmm.
At some point I have to say, okay, look, I can keep giving you this hangover remedy, but we really need to talk about, one, let's notice the fact that you are drinking enough to get daily hangovers.
Yeah.
And then let's, you know, we have to do that first, but then let's go to, like, why do you think drinking is, like, the thing that you do all the time? And then what goes, what, you know, what's under there? So we get to work on, like, a lot deeper layers. And again, you know, to be able to say, like, I just want to point out that you've asked this question every time, and, like, how does it feel when you ask, and how does it feel when you get the answer? And
I think that's important, because sometimes we don't realize that we're repeating the same things over and over again.
Exactly. And it, and then that like, it doesn't actually bring relief.
No.
Like, that, you know, you temporarily feel better, but it's such a minute fix, you know? Mm. I mean, it really is. It's like the meta level of, like, let's look at this from the bigger picture. And working with people consistently allows me to do that. And then I get a closer relationship. You know, I'm human and I like to interact with people who I can get to know.
I imagine it would get taxing having a constant stream of different people coming through.
And one-offs all the time.
Yeah,
and
people just one time.
Who don't understand how I work. That can be really challenging. Yeah. I always say that I start to feel like a Zoltar machine. Like, I had a new client recently just kind of, like, rapid-fire questions at me, mm-hmm. and kind of almost faster than I could read on them. And
that must be fast, because people, she's fast.
And she rips out those cards and says,
but it's like, and it doesn't, there's no time to kind of go, like, well, what are you, why? And my big thing, and I think this is just useful, even if you're not in the middle of getting a reading, is I believe that our questions reveal everything that we need to know. I don't think that we need answers to our questions to get information. I think by knowing what you're asking, you get, you know, like, for instance, my thing is when I meet, like, I'll meet someone and I immediately, my question is always, like, does he like me? So I know that, like, I have this assumption that people do not like me. Like,
I get it. I mean, this is very shallow, but the first thing I look at is a person's footwear, especially a woman. And that's usually my entree is like, hey, what, you know, what do you have going on? Because I like the style. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what attracts me to that person. That's very important to me.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And so when you kind of, exactly that. Like, when you can look at what's your go-to, where's your come from? What are you doing? It's much more revealing than, like, an answer.
So what packages are you offering now?
Okay, so right now what I do is it's 5 sessions, and if anybody on the podcast wants to call, just give me a call. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to them about what they've got going on, and there's no charge for this. It's just check in with me.
Cool.
I'll talk to you about how I think that I might be able to be helpful, and I can't help everyone, and that's one of the things I'm learning too.
Yeah,
is that there are certain people who are really a good fit for me, and there are certain people who I'm just not the right person, and it's nice. I've been being able to kind of sort that out a little bit more. But it's 5 sessions. There's usually 2 long sessions and 3 shorter sessions, but it's not fixed in any way.
Right.
And you can take up to 3 months to use those, up to 4 months if you want to. We can talk as little as once a month. And that's $500. And then I also do a year-long kind of basic maintenance package. It's also $500, and it's 4 1-hour readings, and we meet quarterly. Mm-hmm. And that's for, like, you don't have a lot going on. You're pretty well sorted out, but it's nice to check in with someone who can see
you
just what's going
keep
on.
Keep everything,
forward motion. Listeners, I did Marcy's package for a little while there, and I really found it was really neat to have somebody to talk to that was not affiliated with anything in particular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And didn't have this other kind of school of thought that
plus
they had to adhere
to. Plus you had that huge-ass tear in your soul.
I did have a tear in my soul.
I pronounced that better.
That had to be addressed.
Right. Went to another reader who told me that I had a tear in my soul. But the thing is that it was...
blah, blah, blah. It's just such a weird thing to say. You might be like, man, your soul is ragged.
People should not say that.
It's just one tear. It's
toe
not
up.
The ground
it's
the
toe
edges.
Up from the flow up. Like, the whole soul.
Yeah, and so, it was really neat. And then another thing I realized, it's like when you start asking the questions, you should say, what do I want the answer to be? And that kind of will give you a lot
that's
of insight.
That's scary, though,
Well, one of the things that's happened a lot, or recently I've noticed more, is where, like, they ask me a question and we do the reading and there's a little bit of an argument will come up and they really adhere to something. And it's always, I always say, okay, like you are paying a tarot reader for answers.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yes.
And you are now arguing.
They wouldn't negotiate.
And like, I don't even mind. Like, for me personally, I understand that's part of a process. So I don't, it doesn't bother me when someone argues. Like, I'm not like, you know, getting
like,
annoyed.
If I ask you a different way, will I get the answer that I want?
But it's just really useful to be like, okay, the time that we have. You are, like, there's a part of you that wants something so badly that it is willing to use up the time that you have
to
and
get it.
To, like, fight with what's coming through.
I find that, is that a New York thing, though? Because I was literally,
it
was a local liquor store, and the guy was like, okay, I need to get this wine for dinner tonight. How long do I have to let it, you know, be open to breathe? And he was like, oh, it should breathe, like, an hour. He's like, well, can I do a half an hour? He's like, you can do whatever you want. You can drink it right now. You know? Like, there's no, like, some things there's no negotiation on, but people feel like, hey.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, if I give you $5.
It really is universal, because we all have things where we're just like, please don't tell me that. You know, I think you can each think of something right now where we're like,
Don't go there.
Please. And, but it's nice to have someone say, like, this matters to you a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right? So let's just honor that for a minute. Like, you really want the answer to be, and it's helpful to say, like, what do you want the answer to be?
That's
you know, what would you like me
to
hear?
I don't think I've ever been asked that before.
Yeah.
Have you?
What do you want the answer to be?
Yeah.
And then the other good question is, like, what are you afraid that the answer is? Because a lot of the time,
that I know.
You know, the
that's
the
clear.
Thing that I am offering is, like, it's neutral. You know, it's not a good or bad thing, but usually when someone's afraid, and what I've said kind of sounds like what they might have been afraid of, it can escalate pretty quickly, and I'll just say, like, okay, what did you hear?
Yeah, yeah.
And I like being able to take the time and do that, rather than having, I mean, I think it fits for overall, that I always want to be able to meet, whether I'm dating, whether I'm making friends, whether I'm walking down the street, I want to be able to meet people exactly where they are, exactly with what's happening. And so the same thing goes with tarot readings. When I'm the tarot reader and they're the person asking the question, we get into kind of it's a role. You know, I have to act a certain way, they have to act a certain way. And I never really want to do that.
Yeah, you want to put on your scarves.
I just want to, like, my big earrings.
Yeah. Your curly wig.
Yeah, no. My turban.
Your peasant blouse.
Right.
I would love it if you wore a turban.
Oh, yeah. Wear a turban and a peasant blouse and a big billowy skirt with a belt.
I'm happy with the turban and just, you know, maybe a leotard and a belt works well.
Oh, a leotard?
A leotard and a belt.
A long sleeve leotard with a belt.
A unitard.
A unitard.
And then what is on my legs?
It's a unitard. It's a whole
piece. Yeah, it's a whole piece. Yeah.
Oh, I want that. I want to wear
with
that.
With a turban.
That's
going to
be your new outfit.
I'm thinking gold. I'm thinking black. I'm thinking white.
Okay.
That's what I see.
Gold lamé belt?
Yes. Oh, what other belt would there be for that leotard? Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yes, a gold lamé belt.
Okay.
Hello.
So we're into that.
I think we should all rock a turban.
Let's do it. We'll have turban day.
Yes.
We'll take pictures. We should just travel around the city and take, like, selfies
of
ourselves wearing
turbans.
And then we can do something fun with that.
Like, but the hashtag should not reference the turbans.
No.
It should be like hashtag, like, cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So awesome. So if people want to contact you, where's the best way?
We'll review it
again at the end. But
okay. I'm just going to put this out there. The worst thing to do is to call and leave a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That goes true for me. If anyone happens to have my phone number, don't leave a voicemail.
I try, and I actually need to change my voicemail so it just says stop right there. Hang up. Shoot me a text.
Yeah, text me.
That's
going to
be my new.
Stop, hammer time.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is send me a text, 860-823-8605.
Okay. Once again.
860-823-8605.
Great.
And that's a Connecticut number for those in the know.
But I actually live
in New York.
Okay.
And then you can also email me, Marcy, M-A-R-C-Y, at metamarcy.com. And so that's M-A-R-C-Y at M-E-T-A. MARCY.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. So since we have you here, we want to get right into You Will Know It, / Advice on Advice.
Right.
So Advice on Advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that we think stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we want to improve upon it by giving advice on that advice, hence # Advice on Advice. And then today, Marcy's going to weigh in on it.
All right.
This is my favorite segment.
Yes.
All right, so Katie's going to kick it off.
All right, so here we are. This is Dear Abby.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I recently started working in the hospital where my husband receives his primary care.
Okay.
One afternoon, out of curiosity, I accessed his medical records.
What?
Uh-huh. In his file, it was... yeah.
It's so hard to get people's, like, your own medical records. Right. It's hard to get. Whatever.
She got right in there.
She got in it.
In his file, it was noted that he is high risk for STDs. In fact, he was treated for two different ones some years back.
Huh. Oh.
I have been tested for STDs during my annual physicals, and the results were always negative. I think it's because we often go for weeks without any sexual contact. What should I do with this information? How do I talk to him about him without him without letting him know that I'm aware of his medical history? Concerned in Massachusetts.
Okay, number one, I just have to say, where is Dan Savage when you need him? Like, this is a Savage
So
love.
Let me just recap. So there, it's a married couple.
Married couple.
The woman is working in the hospital where her husband receives care. She looked at his records, and she found out that he doesn't have an STD, but apparently he's indicated...
He's been treated twice.
He's had two STDs since they've been together.
Yeah.
And she's not getting
So here's the first thing for me is I think we would weigh out, like, which is more egregious? Is it more egregious for him to be doing whatever it is that gives him STDs and puts him at high risk?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it more egregious for her to look at his medical records? I think he's on the worst,
he's on the worst side because he's putting her at risk.
Well, what she's doing is illegal.
It's a felony.
Yeah, it's a felony. That's what I was going to say because sometimes.
But I don't give a fuck about the government. So I'm with him right now.
But she's the wife, too. So you can make the argument that she has a right to know.
I don't think you.
Legally, she doesn't.
She doesn't. Sadly.
Yeah.
It's only for children.
Yeah, if you have underage kids. But. So I already want to say that I think that her being like, how do I say that I looked at his records?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you say, I looked at your records, you scumbag.
Yeah.
What's going on? And,
especially because it's STDs.
Yeah.
So if we remove the moral, or societal component from it, like, get your shit checked out.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Yeah.
Like, check it out.
Yeah.
You know, today.
And I think, what she has to do, we're talking about fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously this is a significant question about what is going on. I have been listening to a lot of Dan Savage, and I hear this, and I'm like, maybe they just need to talk about this. He needs to go find sex outside the relationship. They can.
It sounds like he might be doing that.
Yeah.
And then he needs to be clear, though, about what their relationship is.
Right. They have to redefine it.
Sorry. What is the
answer? And I'm laughing at this now because I read, when I get my advice, I read the questions and I just kind of print them out and I don't really look at them again.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is, unless you claim to be clairvoyant, I don't see how you can discuss this without admitting you accessed his medical records, which is against the law. Be prepared for him to be irate because the best defense is a strong offense. You are lucky your husband hasn't given you an STD.
Yes. It's not about luck, though. I mean, this is a huge lack of communication in this relationship.
Right. By all means, talk to him about this, but only to find out whether you have sex so infrequently because he's having relations with other people.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's trying to keep his dick away from you because it's got something
nasty
on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Maybe it was one indiscretion.
Yeah, there's
and now he's
there's
like,
spores on it.
Dirty
he's like,
dick.
He's got to put two condoms on and go in the next room to have safe sex with you.
And now that you know what has been going on, you have some serious thinking to do about staying in this marriage.
Okay, that's the part I disagree with.
Okay.
About staying in the marriage?
Yep.
You see,
I think so many things can be resolved through communication and through being a little bit less rigid. Like, so
I love rigidity.
There's the it gives us boxes to put things in.
It does. It's nice.
We don't know anything about this, but say she loves him very much.
Okay.
Say they have a really nice house together because they're combined in, I don't know how.
But let's say, looking at someone's, I feel like looking into someone's phone, looking into someone's mail, their medical records, these are like serious breaches of like confidentiality.
But I also think,
I would never even think to look
I
at
think when you look and you find, it's because your intuition told you
that something was up.
That, like, I really do. I mean, I'm someone that will, I would never, I would never want to find something like that
I would
out.
Never look, I would go to the source.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say, hey.
Yeah, I think communication is so much better, but I've seen it a lot where, I talk to people about relationships a lot, and there are many, many times where someone will just have an instinct and not have the skills to deal with that instinct. So, we all have intuitions, we all have, we know, but the truth is the truth and it's there. And then we have access to it. So if it's going on some level, you're aware.
Mm-hmm. There must be some signs that made her go to this. Is
they're
kind of
extreme. They're not having any sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even say all she did was like on a lark. sister worked at a bank and was just, like, typing in the names of all the people that she knew and, like, finding their accounts.
This was a long time ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
This government employees but do this
so,
all the time.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I mean, so there, she may have just been, like,
messing around. Yeah.
Which is... So either way,
I would say we've seen this scene in movies too. This is the beginning of the Lifetime TV original.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just like, my husband. Yeah. You know,
should I?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I, you know, I'm ready to say, like, as ideally in an ideal world, we would never do that.
Yeah.
In a real world, we do that a lot. Personally, for me, I would just not want.
I wouldn't
want
to.
I wouldn't want to deal with that scenario.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in, like, people having privacy and you know, all of that. But I don't falter, and I think that as soon as we get to the fact that he has STDs that she doesn't know about, what she did is not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as you...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Is that what I'm trying to say? Like, if you invade someone's privacy, but then you find out something...
It's canceled out.
It's just kind of like, well, you know what, dude? Like, you shouldn't have been doing this shit.
True.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I don't... Again, I'm not a big... I would never counsel a client to invade someone's privacy.
Yeah.
Well,
what about, you know, people... Some people do not want to admit the truth. I've been in several situations where I say, you know, know for sure, I don't have the evidence, but I know for sure something's going on, and it's been denied up and down and up and down, and I'm right, but they will never admit it. So was she maybe at her...
Is her, you saying she was trying to get some proof?
Yeah.
Like some evidence so she could actually have a conversation and be like, I mean,
yeah.
A medical record is pretty serious evidence.
Yeah.
Like as friends, if you did something else, like, I have this report here you know, this is what you did.
Yeah, and
so
I think
how do you like me now?
The fact that she's so concerned that she has to mention this to him just makes me wonder about her and kind of where she's coming from.
I might roll out once I read the STD.
Yeah, what do you say in the cards episode? All right.
We could all be wrong.
So Marcy is going to pull a card out on this couple, and you're going to...
What's the question for the card?
We'll answer her kind of her question. Like,
okay.
Oh, she says, what should I do with this information? How do I talk to him about it without letting him know I'm aware of his medical history?
Yeah, we'll answer her question directly.
Okay.
And that's a dumb question. Like, how do I let him know without letting him know? No.
Yeah. That I'm aware of his medical history.
So the first thing, the card that we have is...
a lot of wands.
We have a lot of wands, which, again, for me, because wands are about our creative energy, they're about sexuality, and they are in a lot of ways about, like, kind of connecting in with the divine. You know, it's... Of all the suits, they're the ones that are the most jacked into the divine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still on the idea of this all went down exactly as it needed to. That, you know, whether it was an accident, whether she was snooping, whatever, that this is culminating in a certain time. So the answer is Seven of Wands. She really needs to, like, kind of get to the point where she recognizes that she has the moral authority here, that she didn't do anything wrong. Because just like, I would agree with Abby on that.
Abby.
You know, that she should be prepared for him to come back at her, like, pretty, you know, where,
pretty
how
hard.
Could you do that? I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she needs
to
be able...
he's going to focus on that.
Yeah.
And she needs to be able to say, oh no, my friend, oh no, you know, we'll talk about that another time, but that is not anywhere near as bad as whatever's going on with you.
Mm-hmm. And the risk that he put her at, possibly, you know?
And this really may be a threat to their marriage. Like, it really could.
She's lucky that she hasn't caused anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that's serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things that don't go away ever.
Yeah.
Not that everything's like that, but
yeah.
You know, I mean...
We never know.
And so we see her being really afraid of this being a threat to the marriage, as we probably all would.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's like a weird... That takes a certain kind of weird way of thinking, because the threat to the marriage is that he is having sex with other people and catching STDs and not telling her. That's the threat to the marriage. The threat to the marriage is not her having this information. And I keep seeing that, like, wherever she's coming from in her own brain... is, like, slightly missing the point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That this is much more significant than her looking at his records. Again.
And maybe she's the kind of person who never would have done something like this before. So it's really, you know, it's too much for her to be like, I can't believe I snooped on someone, period.
Right.
The outcome, we get the Six of Wands. She needs to know that she's in the right.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to approach it from that way. She needs to kind
of
just, whatever she needs to do.
Yeah, I do too. I was like,
we're in the right.
And it tells us that, things are probably going to work out okay. Like, whatever agreements they can come to, this is the card of victory, the Six of Wands. So it's like,
by her just kind of
keeping her shit together and approaching this as though she has not done anything wrong, or that at least it's not as wrong as whatever he's done, so she doesn't, you know, feel attacked or threatened when he comes back at her. She can just hold her ground. I think this is going to work out just fine. The advice is strength reverse, which is just, you got to lay into it. You got to do this. You cannot sit on this information. The sooner the better. The faster you act, the better. The more, like, get mad. Mm-hmm. Get, like, be incensed.
She has the right to be.
Yeah. 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 He's messing with her health.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, the thing is, like, even...
physical and emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. But, even, yeah. I mean, putting the emotional stuff aside, like, that's, like, fundamental if you're having a sexual relationship with someone, yep, that you need to be honest about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And not... I think that's the thing is, like, you want to not underestimate that. That is really significant. Yeah. That is, like, a very egregious...
And I'm surprised, because of what I know about STDs, it's very easy for women to contract it,
yeah,
for men.
But it sounds like they're not having a lot of sex.
Even one sex.
Yeah.
Not even one. They go for weeks without any.
So anything else with this? I really, we get the Ten of Cups as the result, so
this
it looks like...
a pretty card.
Yeah. And it looks like the sooner she addresses this, the better. And it really looks like this works out really well for them in the end. If we're going to go, like, really, fortune teller style,
mm-hmm,
we're going to go all the way there. Yeah, the Ten of Cups would dictate that, you know, this will make them happier in the end. I still stand by on that intuitive level that this needed to happen, that the timing of this and the way that it all went down was probably exactly right and perfect for them.
Maybe he'll get it together.
Yeah. I think this just needed to be brought to the
surface. Maybe what he did was in the past, and because it depends on what STD he is concerned about.
Right.
Because, you know, there's some 3 months, mm-hmm, some 6 months, some have a longer time to manifest. So.
And I mean, I would imagine, I mean, if you're married to someone, we imagine that there's love and affection on some level, even if it's not being acted upon. You know, think how bad you'd feel. You, for whatever reason, you cheat on your significant other, you get an STD,
mm-hmm,
and then you're just, you know, that's got to feel pretty awful.
Now, so what do you do?
As shitty as that was for him to do, mm-hmm, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's a human.
He could still be the one avoiding the sex out of fear.
Right. Out of trying to protect her.
Out of trying to protect her, but not knowing how to
bring it up and what to say, and so then, avoiding it.
Like, all of a sudden, he's like, you know what, I'll just eat you out.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like,
I wish the microphone could have captured Katie's face.
But it's like, you know, what if he's one of these guys who's like, I'll, you know, I got more of my repertoire, stay away from my penis.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean, my thing is, I think...
Because it's deadly.
Both... I think
the
both
deadliest
of them...
Penis.
Yes, the deadliest penis.
Both of them, their behavior, it looks like to me, and whatever, both of them, their behavior has been guided by... a desire to save the marriage is what it sounds like. She's afraid to say something to him because, mm-hmm, she doesn't want it to be a threat.
He's trying to protect her.
I mean, that's what it looks like. And with that Ten of Cups, it's like, I don't think either one of them is trying to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the worst case scenario is they both don't want to be married and then they move on. But even that's not bad. Two people, mm-hmm, shouldn't stay married if they don't want to be married is mine.
I agree.
Particular.
So I've got one here.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is from Carolyn Hacks, who's usually with the Post, but I found this for some reason in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. It says, "Dear Carolyn, my husband of 10 years has been having an affair with a married woman. I moved out. We're getting divorced. It sucks more than I could have imagined, but I'm coping with the help of good friends and a good therapist."
Okay. That's good.
"My question is about the other woman's husband, who, according to my husband, doesn't know about the affair or her plans to leave the marriage. I don't know if I should contact her husband or not. On the one hand, I want to because I'm angry and I like to upset her life as much as she has upset mine."
I like the self-awareness of that. Like, yeah. I'm mad. I want to fuck his shit up.
"The fact that she gets to time the separation for her own convenience, i.e. once my stuff is out of the house, she can move her stuff in, irritates the hell out of me. But I also think her husband has a right to know. On the other hand, I cringe at the idea of tracking down a stranger and telling him the awful news. Sending an email, waiting outside his work. Ugh, I hate the thought of doing it." Seems like she has a plan, though. "It seems sneaky and petty, and I don't like it. And if he does know and has accepted it, I hate that even more. I really don't want to be involved anymore. I just want to get out of the situation and get on with my life. And contacting her husband would keep me involved. I'd become a participant rather than a disgusted bystander."
Okay.
"What do you advise?" the other
spouse. Interesting.
I see a screenplay where she does not tell him, but they end up on a flight together, and they each confess, like, about these, like, infidelities.
Is it starring Alec Baldwin?
Yeah.
And they, Julianne Moore.
Does she sneakily get on the flight next to him?
No, it's a coincidence.
It's a meet cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
And he now has found out, however, but now this is like after the fact, and they're telling each other their stories, and then they realize
they get together.
I like that.
It's each other.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's not bad. So the advice is, I don't need to advise anything, which is just, I hate this
God,
kind
of out.
Advice.
No.
Although I do that all the time, by the way, as a tarot reader, I do that a lot.
But it's not just, you're not giving an answer. You're talking about the problem.
Yes.
You're not.
I don't need to advise anything except I suggest you reread your own letter. You wrote.
What?
Damn. You wrote your way to the answer yourself. Quote, I don't really want to be involved anymore. I just want to get out of the situation. If it helps to keep you centered, think of all the things the marriage and the affair is smoking wreckage behind you, which you return to and pick through only when it's absolutely necessary. By your own definition. Otherwise, you're all forward, all tomorrow, all you. This did not help this woman at all, I feel like.
I actually like the advice. It's kind of what I was going to say, but I don't feel like it
was very
nice. I
don't feel satisfied.
Nice.
Yeah.
No.
I don't feel satisfied.
I get what you're saying, and I kind of agree. She's saying reread your letter, but this woman is at a place where that's not really a possibility for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not able to step that far away from it and reflect on it.
Yeah, and that, like, I have to, you know, for me, honestly, that is, if it was, and there's something different about dialoguing, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When someone writes into an advice column, they're looking for advice. They're not looking for, like, reread your letter. Yeah. But when I...
It's just a picture of a mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was the character that you gave it or if that's really, but there was like a smug, like, I don't need to da da da.
That might have been my dramatic reading.
But I prepared this text thoroughly.
I like the backstory that you imagined
before
for
the
yourself
work.
Before you
went forward.
Mask
work.
Well, let's just see what the cards say. I don't.
Okay, yeah.
Because,
let's see what
I think there's something legitimate about what, you know, when she says, I just, okay. Here's how I see it.
You know, I would be like, yeah, I would do it. I would totally tell the guy. And then, but when it came down to it, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like,
Well, it's like, she's certainly not obligated to tell him. I think we can agree with that.
But there's a small, I mean, I would want to know. I would want to know.
Right.
I would want her, if I were the husband of the, you know, on the other side of this, I would want this woman to come to me and be like, your wife is sleeping with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to make sure that you're aware of this because this is about to change your entire world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
she
doesn't have to tell him.
No, she doesn't have to.
That's a choice.
But she's feeling like an obligation.
So she's there with like this choice. And when you have a choice and then you have a desire, so her desire is to be done with this and not make it worse and not get into drama. It's like, well, pick the choice that brings you that outcome, you know? And I think if everyone started developing that kind of rubric in their mind, it makes things a lot easier. That's one of the things that when I'm working with my clients, I'll do is like, come up with strategies for decision making. And one of them is if you have a choice and you have a desire and one choice brings you closer to that desire, that outcome, that's the choice you make. But I think it would be good to look at the cards because... I can see the other.
Yeah, I mean,
other side.
I think maybe she's thinking too that maybe she wished someone had come to her and told
she
her.
Had like a little bit of a heads up on
so
this.
So she could.
So.
It sounds like her life was like disrupted right away, and she's concerned about this other person that they're not going to have the time, you know,
I'm
to prepare.
Sure that the cheating partners are getting their finances together.
Yes.
They're getting like the whole plan made up, and they're just ready to.
They're
go.
They're trying to make it real sweet and easy for them.
Yeah,
you know.
And then there's like. Oh, just that, like, her self-awareness, her awareness that it's coming from, a small part of her, like, a small, petty space. I am a big fan of, like, don't ever do things from that space. If she moves through that and she's like, okay, it's not really about revenge anymore, but then it starts to hit her
revenge.
That she wants to help him out or that it feels fine. But I think that many actions... the action itself is like neutral or, you know, could be construed as good or bad. But if we come from that place, it's damaging to ourselves when we're doing things from like a horrible, shitty place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like you got to do it though.
Yeah.
I think that's
we're
where
all
she
human.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like she's at the point where she's like, I'm mad as hell.
Yeah.
She
lights the match.
Yeah.
Really, the advice we get, like if we were to pare down what I just pulled, I would say it's about worry about yourself.
Okay.
All right.
But we get the world, which is, you know...
I love the world card.
The world card's great because it really just says everything's happening exactly as it's meant to be. I have to say, this is mirroring slightly the advice from the columnist, mm-hmm. which is, look, like, you have all the information that you need, you have all the answers, but also, as shitty as it is, I'm sure she feels horrible, this marriage was not working, mm-hmm. from what we see here. She needed to move on as well. Everybody needed to move on, and it looks like this is the only way that that was going to happen. So, and I'm just really glad I'm not directly actually speaking to this woman, because I would hate to say that to someone, but that's what the card, you know, that's how I'm reading this world card. And in a lot of ways, this is going to make her happier and better feeling and stronger and all of these great things. We have the Queen of Wands as the outcome of this situation, because what she had been doing was really compromising herself. I actually, when I look at these cards, I see her as someone who maybe marriage just isn't really... And again, I'm really glad I'm not saying this directly to her and feel really bad.
I mean, it sounds like good advice.
Yeah. But marriage just may On not advice. Have really been the thing. It looks like she's very, it's easy for her to be accommodating. It's easy for her to kind of make room for other people in her life and all that. But it when she does that, she's not able to fully be herself. She's not, you know, really stepping into her own gifts and her own things. So, you know, again, with the, like, many layers of distance that I can say this, I say, this is actually fantastic, and I want to talk to her in 5 years and watch how happy she is, because this is going to be so much better. And so she really wants to do anything she can to remove the bitterness, because this is so good for her.
Advice, seems like she's fighting with that. Yeah. You know?
The advice is the Nine of Cups. Just go be fucking happy. And you, this is what you do in this scenario, is you say, good luck. Like, you can have him. You deserve each other. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And kind of, I mean, as far as the other husband, well, the other husband, I would just let it, whatever. You know, everyone has their own kind of need and desire for drama. There's really not a lot she can do here. Do we think he knows already? No, I don't think he knows, but I think that he is much more committed to staying married than she is, and kind of had his own deal going on, and I don't think that it was, you know, I don't think it'll be as problematic for him, and I don't think she needs to tell him, and I think the best thing for her is to be excited about her own life, and be just kind of, thank you, chapter over, and moving on, we're gonna...
She seems fairly grounded.
Yeah.
You know, this is I think for a lot of people, this is a very devastating situation, but for her, it's kind of like, maybe she's towards the end of it, and she wants to know, is there anything that she... Yeah. should do on her way out.
And again, I would say no. And yeah, again, that level of self-awareness, just because I talk to so many people who are asking questions, and, you know, I have amazing clients, so I'm not saying that my clients aren't self-aware, but there are, you know, the times when you're like, I just want to do this, and you don't necessarily even know where that impulse is coming from. For her to go, like, I'm being, like, vengeful and petty is a huge sign of where she's at and her potential to be very, very happy with the outcome of the situation.
Cool. So, I like that one. Thank you very much.
That's a fun one.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hey, You Know It with Jaquetta Sautmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
All right, Katie.
I got another one here. My wife's younger sister has at times flirted with me.
Okay.
Woo!
Okay.
Hold those cards back.
Right. Which my wife has laughed off, even when her sister said sometimes about wanting to have my baby. Well.
This is a very laid back wife.
Right. Well, this sister just got kicked out by her parents and at the moment is living with us. I've never cheated, but I'm not sure I could trust myself here. I am, after all, a guy. How can I tactfully express to my wife that we need to figure something else out ASAP?
So, those sister is now living with them?
Living with them, yeah. Apparently got kicked out by the parents for whatever reason. She's joked around about having this guy's baby being
Is
with
it a cultural thing? Because I feel like
people?
In the, like, black people would be like, girl, you better get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of axioms in our culture that just tell us not, like, you don't come around somebody else's man.
It doesn't matter if it's cousin, sister,
you don't come around and you don't.
And do that, like.
You don't come in the house.
Is that jokey stuff, and flirty stuff. No.
And you don't stand, like, if it happens once. And
it's a mistake, you know.
This is my... Oh, do you want me to do my...
No, you're talking about
this is not Marcy, like, the wise healer advice. This is just, like, what I say. Put your fucking foot down. You say no. You don't try to explain to her why, because she's not going to listen.
Yeah.
You just say, you know, no. Yeah. You know, and for whatever reason, and I don't even know if that's good advice. I'm just saying, like, the first thing, because this...
It's a bad situation.
If he's already saying this, that is just, come on, you don't have to be psychic to see that that is a, like, a straight
It's already
disaster.
There. And it's funny to me that if he thinks, I mean, these are two women in the house who know each other very well. Yeah. If he thinks they aren't both aware of the situation, he's out of his mind.
And even if, say she's just totally joking. Say she is not coming on to him. Mm-hmm. And that he's reading into that. Mm-hmm. He's into it.
Yeah, like he is a guy after all.
He's and it's like, his wife's sister.
And he's thought about it.
He's saying, I'm not sure I can trust myself here. He's like, hmm.
And to give him a little bit of credit, it's like he has said, I don't want this to happen. She needs to stay away. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, even if there's a reason he's writing it to an advice columnist about this, because this could happen. Mm-hmm. And it would just, like, in the same way that the wife is brushing it off, he could be brushing it off, and it would not be impactful, and it would just be like...
But it's a concern.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, you exactly. Know?
It's already been put out there.
Yeah. No,
and
he needs to...
The other part of it for him is, like, what does he say to his wife? Mm-hmm. Like, can he say, like, I don't want your sister to stay here? Well, why? What's the problem?
He could say he doesn't want another person in the house.
Yeah, he'd have to come up with something.
I think just my sense, and again, this is just plain old regular... You know, Marcy, the fucked up human advice, I think, which I don't know why I'm suggesting not being totally honest, but I just feel like the wife clearly isn't interested in receiving this as valid information.
She doesn't want to see her sister that way. Yeah. She's like, no, it's,
and
it's
but
not
she
happening.
Must know what her
it
sister
honestly
is
sounds like. Sounds
like
this sister has some shit going on because she's the younger sister. Mm-hmm. She has gotten kicked out.
Yeah.
Like,
that's right. We kind of glossed over that. These are adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the parents were like, you need to bounce.
Yeah. This sister seems a little bit like a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Already. I mean, just the if we have this, these two little pieces of information give me pause about what's going on with this girl, you know? Okay. What is the
advice?
I'm so curious.
The advice is longer than the question. Yeah. It's a dude.
Yeah.
He was like, cut to the chase.
Yeah.
You are, in quotes, a guy, which apparently means to you that even when your sister-in-law makes grossly inappropriate moves on you, you are somewhat unable to take responsibility for your own behavior. You sound like quite a prize. And maybe you and your sister-in-law deserve each other because you seem
equally...
Oh,
wow. Snap. Snap. Really? This guy's, like, he's saying, what can I do here? I don't want this to end up being, like, an HBO, you know...
Because you seem to equally lack a sense of self-restraint or personal responsibility. You have told your wife about her sister's behavior, and your wife is so confident she's laughed it off. You need to tell her this is not a laughing matter. Explain that to
that this shit ain't funny.
Explain that to you. It's not a joke. And when her sister says she wants to the sister says she wants you to impregnate her.
It's harassment. Think about it from reverse it.
Right.
Make it guy, you know, make the women guys and make that's how I like to think about things. Yep. Right. It's still harassment.
Do leave out the part about how if your sister comes onto you again, you're just going to have to go to bed with her because you're a guy after all. Say her behavior makes you uncomfortable, but frankly, it's intolerable under your own roof. It sounds as if your sister-in-law specializes in intolerable behavior.
Possibly.
Yeah. Tell your wife there has to be a strict deadline for your sister's stay, and the sooner she goes, the better.
Okay, I want to call the columnist out on something that I hate.
Okay.
Which is, we're in this culture that is, there's like an undercurrent of man-hating that happens. And like the first thing she did was like, did this, like, you're wrong for suggesting that you can't control yourself or, you know, whatever it is. And I read this great thing once I don't know who said it, and if anybody wants to, like, I haven't been able to Google it and find it again. Mm-hmm. I don't know the source, but it's something like, men see women as, like, exotic creatures or like, mysterious other entities, and women see men as dysfunctional women. So,
That's interesting.
Wait, men see women.
Men see women as, like, I don't get you, you're mysterious, you're different from me. You're an enigma, yes. Yeah. And then women tend to judge men as though they are just dysfunctional women. So we're like, oh, you guys are stupid. You don't, you know. But I mean.
It's about to be like, yeah.
I mean, I think that it's all right to say, like, yeah, there may come a moment when his brain fucking shuts off because this girl is touching his dick.
But women cheat. Women fall to this too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find a lot of women who would say, like, oh, why did you sleep with that guy? Oh, girl, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
you know, like, I mean, caught up in the moment, caught up in the drama. Yes. But I think she's disrespecting the fact that he's being honest about the situation.
And I don't think he should use his guyness as an excuse. But I do think there's a difference between using something as
he should say, I'm
and
human.
Calling out like a legit, yeah, exactly.
I'm a human being.
Like, this
temptation.
Might happen. Right.
Yeah, this might happen.
I thought it was interesting because that colored all the advice for me. I feel like she said the same things that we said, but then there's this sort of like, we shame men for their impulses.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the thing is that after all, I am a guy. I'm just like tired of hearing guys use that excuse all the time for everything. Like, I will sleep with whoever. I can't buy a present because I don't even know what to get because I'm a guy. I can't clean because I'm a guy.
Right.
I can't do all these things because I'm a guy. So I'm kind of tired of the I'm a guy.
Because it's a very surface and superficial thing to say. But there is what I see, and this is just like working with people and kind of going into their psyche, is there are differences in what we prioritize and how we see things and what we do. And there we don't, in our culture at this time, we just, and I'm not saying that we're wrong for this or that it doesn't make sense, but because we're on this upswing of kind of undercutting patriarchy and we're at this place of trying to rebalance, we really are far over to the edge and we don't have patience for this bullshit.
Yeah, ain't nobody got time for that.
But what it means is that we are not asking men to say, well, what do you mean by that? And or asking them to, or we're not validating their own experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he may really feel this way. And we're just going, oh, well, that's stupid. You shouldn't feel that way. You should never say that. But that, I mean, he's struggling, obviously.
We also don't know at which... Because I'm thinking about my experience as a woman, not now, when I was younger, when I was out and about.
When you were a maiden.
Well, yeah, when I was a maiden.
Yeah.
When I had a maiden head. You know, when you're out and about, there is a certain point in your life where you feel like, I can do whatever I want with it. I can do anything I want with any guy, and any guy is going to fall under my... So like, if I press them hard enough, if I keep throwing myself at them,
Jaquetta's magic.
Yes. That 22-year-old magic.
Yeah.
If you, and I imagine she must really be coming on a little strong.
Yeah.
And imagine they're in the home together, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like... What is it like when the wife isn't there and the sister is there? Is the guy like, you know, is he like Mr. Burley?
Because I mean, even if we took the sister thing out, I think of like, it's making me think of like Lester Burnham in American Beauty.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to reference.
He was open to the advances of the high school girl.
Mm-hmm.
And there are men who, anyone, who where someone totally inappropriate comes on to you and it's a thing. And there are people where you just go like, oh, police, get the fuck out of my face. And that has to do with where you're at internally, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we're highlighting, there is something going on with him also. Because, again, if this is inappropriate on so many levels, if he was more solid, this would not have an impact, and he would laugh it off. Just in
either that, or if he, I've known some guys who will just be like, "Look, get away from me!
Yeah.
I'm not fucking around with you. I don't want to, you know, I don't appreciate this. This is harassment."
And that might be a white people thing too, because there are weird laws of propriety.
Yeah, that's why I asked. This is a cultural thing.
I really think it is,
because I think this would come to a head very quickly in my community.
Yeah, I think that you're right. Just having been a part of.
Yeah.
Foot in both worlds.
Yeah.
I can't see that.
Where this guy is trying to think of like, and I appreciate it, he's trying to think of like a good way to kind of dramatic with this.
Well, because there's a thing that happens, especially in white culture, where you're bound by
these
rules.
As the drums come on. The white drums.
You know, where you're bound by politeness.
Yeah, the proprieties.
Being manners. And there is a weird thing where even if the other person is not using their manners, you still have to use yours. There's this expectation that you're still...
You don't want
to
bring yourself
still
down.
Still his wife's sister.
Yeah.
So regardless of the fact that the sister is knowing that this is her sister's husband, he still has to, like, be nice to her. Especially since the wife is not doing it. There's something for her.
Because don't you think the wife would be like a little hip to the sister on this one?
Yeah, but it could be that sister thing where it's like,
you know,
it's
always been like that. And, you know, if she starts taking her sister seriously, that gives that sister too much power.
Okay.
And there's something, I mean, I think that, you know, we really allow our family members to get away with things after a while. Like, if you look at family dynamics, it takes, like, what they say, it takes three days around your family before you're, like, right back in to whatever it was growing
3 days.
Up. 3 days?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, 4 hours.
3 hours?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, my guess is that she's just blind. This is the crazy sister who, and nobody calls her out on her shit, it sounds like.
Will only go so far, and so the one sister is like, she's harmless. This is what she does, but she's not going to go past a certain point.
And what she's missing is that her husband is vulnerable.
That's why I asked if it's cultural, because already I'm like, bitch, you need to roll up on my house. Yeah.
I don't want it. What's the real question?
How can I tactfully express to my wife that we need to figure out something else ASAP?
ASAP.
Having the sister living
you
in the house.
You can't have her. You can't have that girl. And I do. I think that it's got the. I don't know any black family that this shit would.
No, for not a at all. Moment.
And I can totally see it with my more white friend. Like So, and I think, I mean, we're going to go with Marcy's gut instinct advice was just say, put your foot down, which kind of is like stepping into those politeness rules that the husband can just put his foot down and, you know, we'll see what happens. Let's see what the cards say.
The cards read us. They're like, look.
I mean, I think it's mean of the columnist to say, perhaps you deserve each other. That was.
I think that's a bit too far.
That went too far. Yeah. That's if he actually did it, and now he's like trying to decide how to tell his wife. It's like
he's trying to avoid the situation. Yeah. So you got to give him a little bit of props.
She's probably very attractive. She probably reminds him of.
That's
his
wife. That's what I say. What if she looks like his wife when she was younger?
Yeah,
that's what I'm imagining. That's another thing, you know, because sometimes guys get caught up in the physical.
Yeah.
All right. So according to the cards, we've got the Strength card reversed. So again, we keep getting this as advice of like the Strength card is. Act sooner rather than later. It's reverse. So act sooner rather than later.
Like I know. I'm like, oh, it's reverse.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to just blurt it out. Don't be afraid of this causing
fight. Get out,
B. Yeah. Like you just need to like do something right away. I keep seeing this, you know, the challenge is that he does not have a lot of self-control.
Mm-hmm.
That he feels very overwhelmed, that he's trying really hard. But
that's a hard one, because if you're a person who doesn't have a lot of self-control, your MO is to remove all of temptation from you. And now temptation's moved into your house.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's just going to, the outcome is he needs to just keep walking away. Like, he needs to keep, but the advice is the World card reverse. How I see that is that he needs to question his reality. Is it just, it's hard for him because he's a guy, or does he have more self-control.
Something going on?
Is there a way for him to reframe it so that this is no longer an excuse? That he needs to dig a little bit deeper and go, you know what? Like, even if she comes and puts her mouth on my penis, I will stop her. Which people do. That's a thing.
What?
I know, I'm like, how?
People just come by and put their mouths on
I'm saying that you can stop. You can stop a sexual encounter if you really don't want it.
Yeah.
Like, if you get to the place where you know this is not what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not actually impossible.
That's true.
To please don't do that.
I'm just influenced by film and TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like people do get caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
And then anything that has happened. So say she does try to like give him a quick beach, and he's like, "No," but it's already
the white.
It's like in Single White Female.
Yeah, it's already happened. Happened.
Yeah, it's gonna be the other lights are gonna be dim. It's gonna be late.
It's a frame.
She's
up.
Gonna wear the same outfit that the sister wears, and then, it's like,
And then it's like, oh man,
it's like you really knew.
Well, at least then it's definitely the sister's fault
for sure.
We need to have proof. I don't know. I mean, but I really do. We have the World reverse, which as advice often can mean just question your reality. Question the things that you've taken as basic assumptions. And I would also say this means she really just cannot be there. Whatever he has to do or say, or if he needs to take like a business trip, whatever he needs to not, this needs to not happen. Is it really a problem? Like, could this really happen? I feel like she's very persistent. But it also, this could blow over pretty quickly.
That's an ace of wands.
It is the ace of wands. It looks exactly like a penis.
With smoke coming out of it.
And a hand
on it. And a hand gripping it.
Yeah.
It's the act.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I think this is going to be, he needs to be very direct. He needs to say, you stop that shit right now. He needs to say, look, I don't care what you think. Like, she keeps saying this and she keeps doing this. No, she's not going to be in our house. Like, he needs to be.
Otherwise, it ends up like a Tennessee Williams play.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to be willing to, like, just
shut it down.
Yeah.
I like that one. Cool. Great. So I think we have time for one more. Do you
one
have
more?
A...
This is, I love one. This.
Is this from the same source?
I probably.
Internet.
It's the internet. That's my only source.
From the internet.
Yeah. I am the proud single mom to an 11-year-old girl who has recently started asking to be allowed to shave her legs. Personally, I can't remember when I started shaving my legs, nor does my mother remember when she started. Do you know when the proper time is for a girl to start?
Really? You don't remember the first time shaving your legs? I do.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. My best friend at the time, Kelly... I think we had read we used to talk on the phone with our 17 magazines. So that's how far I was rural. Yeah. So I lived like 20 miles away from my friends. So we would like be on the phone and talk about, we would flip through, I'm like, on page 10.
Yeah.
We talk about that. That's and then cute. There were people shaving. So I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to shave.
Yeah.
Man, I fucked my shit up.
Yeah.
Back in the day, this is like the early 80s, right. Razors, there was no guard.
No.
It was just basically a machete.
Yeah, right.
On a stick.
Right. And when you're taking that to a hair for the first time.
And I was, here I am, my mom, I have a single mom, I'm African American. There was no shaving cream in the home. A lot of black women didn't shave at the time.
Yeah.
It was definitely like I was on my own. I found a razor from like, I don't know, from like my grandfather probably that had like a blade.
Oh no.
Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like old school.
A single, like a straight edge.
Yeah.
Razor.
I soaked up and I just lacerated myself.
Wow.
My mom actually helped me. Like,
really?
I decided I wanted to shave. I was the first person in my friend group. And I was the first person putting on makeup, which you can't tell now.
But were you hairy?
No, I don't shave at all now. I don't shave my legs at all now.
I still have very little hair left.
Wow. But, my mom, like, helped me soap up and, like...
Showed
me how to do it. So I can't imagine not remembering.
But but when do you start? Because I remember that being, it wasn't necessarily.
When you're hairy.
A lot of people freak out about it. They're saying you can't start until you're a certain age, regardless of hair. I remember that being a big deal. It was like, no, you're not old enough to do this.
Yeah, I remember
take care of your hair,
my best
body
friend's
hair.
Mom was upset because I shaved my legs and then she wanted to shave her legs. And then the mom was like, you guys are too young for this. You know, I was fast, and my friend was not.
But it depends on the person, I think.
There's something that happens in puberty where your hair goes from being, like, little kid hair to darker, coarser hair. And maybe then.
Is it a good time, yeah.
I mean, I kind of wish someone had said, you know what? Shaving's a pain in the ass. It's not all that
necessary.
Don't
start doing it, yeah.
You know, you're going to cut yourself. You're going to have stubble.
But when you put on stockings, and that all gets
and they like
matted up
out.
Underneath it.
But yeah, I'm really fortunate because I have my hair is invisible.
I only have hair from the knee down on the outside.
Yeah.
But for some of my white friends who were Italian,
or
Greek from other ethnicities, it was like a real. And
it
he,
is.
He didn't
no,
have
a,
light hair,
yeah.
But had light skin. It was like a real big deal.
It is
for
a big
them,
deal.
You know?
And everyone can see it. And this is like it's big for the child, and then it's big for the parents.
For some reason that I have no explanation for, like my thought is 12. My arbitrary answer is 12.
I feel like, you know, right before you're getting your period, because you're really starting to develop, and, you know, you start to, you know, things start to happen, you take care of yourself, that's a good time to start doing it. When you become self-conscious about it.
I like the idea of there being some ritual aspect to it, or some, like,
no, they
gotta
make it a
something.
Shame. This is America. It's gotta be a shameful,
shame-based.
Maybe
you know?
It's when you are in 8th grade and you go to your 8th grade dance. You know, something that is, or 6th grade, people are doing all things younger now, so maybe it's when it's 6th grade graduation, but I like the idea of it being connected to some event where you have to wear something that then, you know, as an adult woman, you would shave your legs.
But we don't, unfortunately, we don't have those kind of rituals. Like, I was talking to friends of mine who are Indian or coming from Indian-based cultures. They all get together, and they see the women helping each other with the grooming, so it's like a really, it's like a cultural thing.
Yeah.
So there's not a shame element to it. Like, you
right.
grow up knowing how to take care of your body.
Yeah, we don't see that.
We don't
and
see
I
it.
Think that this mother could create that. Like, my mom did for me. Because, I mean, we sat, I put on a big, like, a bathing suit, we sat in the bathroom. bathtub together, or I sat in the bathtub and she was in there with
me.
She
made it nice.
And yeah, and she's like, okay, so you're going to want to like go in this direction. And I still had terrible razor burn. I totally
of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also razors back then. Shady. Yeah. Super shady.
Nary a pink one in sight.
But that is the thing. Because our culture doesn't have these rituals societally, as parents, and I'm speaking as a parent, like we have...
Make them up.
You make them up and you do things.
Yeah. So. But that's a lot of pressure, too. Like, you need to practice a little before the big day.
Yeah.
Like, you don't set it... Because, like, if you are going to the 8th grade dance and you're right. allowed now to wear mascara and gloss and shave your legs, you better know how to do that before.
Yeah.
Because trying to set that up for that night, it's
together.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's too much.
But I would probably say, like, do it around a birthday. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like,
make it
once
fun.
You hear, yeah. I would do something like
and
like that.
And not the hatchet job that I had.
And I would. I'm right. really yes. like hair positive. I also though am not the like feminist that says you're not allowed to do this. Like,
I mean, I think you can do whatever you want, but make it comfortable, fun, and easy
yeah.
when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
When
yeah.
you're a young girl, so it shouldn't be a chore. Like
yeah.
taking care of your body shouldn't seem like a chore, and you also shouldn't feel like you have to do it.
You know, other thing, I think my rule was only, I mean, it wasn't a rule, but my mom taught me to only shave from the knee down. Like, there was something about, like, it didn't need to be this.
I didn't know you had to shave from the knee up.
Oh, really?
But also, African-Americans generally are not very hairy.
Right.
So it's not fair. When I got together with my friends who were Italian.
Or even part Italian, part Polish.
Or even part Italian, part Polish. And I saw the situation
that
they had going on. I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
You know? All right, so let's see, what's the advice?
You know, the proper time is when your daughter feels self-conscious about not shaving. She does sound young at 11 years old, but this is strictly an individual matter.
Yeah. My husband started shaving when he was really, really young.
Oh, yeah, I forgot my
like,
son.
That's right. He was Greek. He was 8. With a...
It's a kid with a beard and mustache.
Yeah. She may be rapidly heading toward full-blown puberty.
Ooh.
Full-blown?
I don't like full-blown. There's nothing wrong with it.
Like
advanced stages.
Yeah, and she is uncomfortable about the dark hair on her legs. It can also be that her friends have started shaving,
mm-hmm.
like you said.
Or they're African-American, don't have a lot of hair anyway.
And she wants to feel grown up like them, even if it means removing some peach fuzz. The next time you shave your legs, get your daughter her own razor and have a mother-daughter session where you give her some tips on avoiding nicks.
I like that.
This
is great.
I thought that was good advice.
A lot of the fear when we were growing up was that when you start caring about your appearance, you gotta have sex.
Yeah.
Like immediately. And that was so not on my mind. It was literally like, oh, this is a cool new thing I can do. It looks like fun. Now, shaving... waxing, it's a chore.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it's not fun. But at 11, at 12, at 13, it's like,
I haven't shaved my legs in years. But I will, like, sometimes I'll still go and, like, get a Brazilian wax just because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some feminist girl, like, are you sure it's because it's easier or is it because you are indoctrinated?
You know what? It grows back.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a look. You try different things
out. It's a style.
You see what you like.
Yeah.
And see
but also, too,
good.
You can't... I have to say, as someone who doesn't have a lot of body hair, I had to learn to stop passing judgment because you don't know what people have going on.
Yeah.
I've seen some very dramatic situations.
Yeah.
I'm talking like extremely... I lived in Hungary. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I've seen a lot. So it's like...
You've seen things.
I've seen
Quentin,
things.
Right?
And for some people, it's just not comfortable for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I'm thinking about it's summertime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
you
want to be fresh, you want to be free, for however that feels for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, let's see what the cards have to say.
The question would be here then, you know, why is the mother so anxious about this?
Okay.
What is her deal?
Well, let's see. Yeah, I'll pull one card kind of as a response to the question. Not necessarily answering what she asked, but just as a response to
the
question.
Oh, okay. What's the proper time for a girl to start shaving her legs?
And what we have is we have the Three of Pentacles reversed and the Knight of Wands, which is that the mother really does not want to acknowledge that the little girl is growing up.
Aww.
See, this is what
like,
I'm thinking
that's
about.
That's really
yeah.
what is going
it's
on
connected
under the surface.
To,
but
know.
What she's not realizing is that we have the Two of Cups now, if she engages with her daughter and they connect around this, you know, and this is really, it's that time. And I'm finding that with my own son is he's kind of, I guess he's in full-blown puberty, full-blown.
Full blown.
Whatever. But he, you know, he's 16 years old.
Yeah.
But puberty is the time where you can either choose to kind of get scared of your kids and back off and be afraid and try to keep them as little kids, or you can really engage with them and be a part of their life as they go through these changes and ask them and mm-hmm. talk to them and, you know, stay involved. And that's what this is recommending, is like, she's afraid that her daughter is getting too big and kind of...
I love yeah. that. Yeah. Well, that's what people were saying. Are you getting big? It's like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know?
It's like,
yeah.
So...
not a monster.
Yeah.
I would say just give it... that she doesn't even actually... She can say... She can let her daughter make this decision. If she's ready, if that's what she wants to do, she can do it. And calm down. And I, you know, again, I say that as a parent mm-hmm. Who is not particularly calm and have had, you know, many reasons not to be calm as you parent teenagers. That's what happens. But just kind of settle down around this and recognize that this is just, you know, she wants to engage with her daughter about this.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And a good question is, you know, who's seeing your legs? Is there someone going to touch your legs? Now that you're doing this, is there a reason you want to do it?
That was not even that for me. I don't know if you that didn't play into it.
Right.
It
no, not at all.
And that's why I think it's it's worth asking that question, because I remember being, I was probably like 11 or 12, and I wanted this really pretty bra and underwear set. It was like a matching set. I was probably in sixth or seventh grade. It was my first underwire bra. And I remember my mom kind of doing like a check-in with me. And I just thought, I mean, they were pretty. They were just really pretty.
And let's be honest, when you're that age, that's what you're about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're not, when you're looking at what, you know, seems to be a very sexual piece of lingerie as a 12-year-old, you're like, oh, how pretty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
you're
pink,
not
there's lace.
About,
yeah, right.
No one's going to see
yeah,
this
it was
because
like
it's going to be under
color,
your clothing.
Right.
You know?
It was, yeah, I mean, I wish I still had it. It was so pretty. I loved it. And, but we had a little bit of a conversation where she was like, and she just said to me, I'm a little hesitant to get this for you. It seems like it's very grown up, you know, for you at this time. And she didn't say like, oh, you're going to go like mm-hmm, whatever, mm-hmm. but she just kind of let me know. And it was actually really good because it clued me into like, oh,
there's
it
another
isn't
side
just
to this.
Pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's like,
sexy is a word.
It's on the job.
Yeah. It's on the job.
Yeah.
Daytime.
Yeah. But you know,
day to night.
And thinking back, like, I think there's something valuable to go, like, sometimes you shave your legs because it's a self-care beauty ritual
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
that you like. And it doesn't have to be about a man. And I think educating ourselves and her or whoever about that is really helpful, especially educating feminists about that when they're trying to tell you what you can and can't do with your pubic hair.
Yes.
Right.
I hate that.
Well, a friend of mine has a good term. She calls them abolitionists.
Yes.
Because it's like, please don't tell me what to do with my pubic hair.
Yeah, right.
Like, yes. Now I'm going to... A man was telling me, and now you want to tell me?
Yeah,
no.
There's nothing like less feminist than being told what to do with your own
exactly.
pubic hair.
Exactly. Something that's very private. So on that note, if people are looking to find you, just one more time.
Shoot me a text. Actually, you can look at my stuff. I've got, my website is under construction, but you can find some information. You can find out about the different kinds of readings I offer, certain programs that I've got going on here and there. And you do that by going to www.metamarcy.com. So it's www.metamarcy.com. And then if you want to just reach out to me directly, which is a lot easier, I can answer your questions. You can call, text 860-823-8605. Again, that's 860-823-8605. Or you can email me at marcy@metamarcy.com.
Awesome.
Great.
Thanks
Thank
so much
you.
For coming in.
Thank you
Thank
so
you
much.
Guys. It's always so fun to be here.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com.
Thanks.
When I was a camp counselor, we had a lot of girls that, because we had communal showers, mm-hmm. so it was kind of a hippie camp, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of situations where, you know, you're doing your thing, and then there's a girl's like, oh God, what are you doing? It's like, okay, well, let's address this.
That's where I learned how to use conditioner as, instead of using shaving cream, use hair conditioner.
Hair conditioner.
I didn't know about it. That's where I learned how to use a tampon. At summer camp, I never would have gotten it any other way, because at that time in my culture, that was not the thing that you did. And I was actually coached and cheered when it happened. Yeah, and it was a positive experience. So I like this idea of the mother and the daughter working together.
Yeah, I had a mother and two sisters, and nobody said boo.
Yeah, we're missing that.
I was shocked. I thought I was going to die.
We're missing like, that, that in way. Our